When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Nico Ryans met with the media yesterday, and Patrick Mahomes a big talking point. He was full participation at practice for the Chiefs yesterday. Mahomes was. Here was DeMeco Ryans saying, Mahomes is elite.
Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, done it for a long time, done it at a really high level, and where he gains most of his success is just the keeping plays alive, like off schedule, keeping plays alive. Their receivers and tight ends, they know how to uncover, they know how to find the open space and zone coverage, sit routes down. So just, it's a true challenge. It's going to take everyone, especially our D-line, the way they work. They have to work together. You try to keep him contained, but that's easier said than done. Yeah, he still finds a way to escape, finds a way to make plays. It's going to take, a really tremendous effort from everybody, just being where we're supposed to be, playing disciplined football for four quarters.
Okay, so that's the big difference between last week and this week, which is interesting, because last week, the Dolphins get rid of the ball really, really fast. And if Tua doesn't get rid of it really fast, it doesn't tend to go as well. He can't extend plays the same way Pat Mahomes can. So the Texans didn't have to be as disciplined in holding their water longer, for extended plays behind the line of scrimmage or anything. Where the Chiefs, it's the exact opposite. The play could go on forever. And you got to be super, super vigilant about guys seeping into your zone and coverage. If you got your eyes glued into the backfield, somebody sneaks up behind you. It's a different type of challenge. And I think last week the Texans defense responded to D'Amico's challenge really well. The challenge was keep everything in front of you and then rally to the ball and tackle. And they did a really good job of that. This week it's, still obviously emphasize tackling, but more so just hold your water. And just know that the play, even with a good pass rush, this play can keep going on. And if Mahomes is playing, whether he's mobile or not, he figures out a way to find Travis Kelce late in the down or anybody else.
Yeah, keep him in the pocket. If he always squirts out the front of the pocket, and then he's got, the full view of what's going on downfield. It'll be interesting. I think Mahomes is going to play in this game. Here's Patrick Mahomes talking about his injury and where they are as a team.
Obviously, we've put ourselves in good position to where, I guess I wouldn't say it was dire that I play. I mean, it's something where it's not like in the AFC Championship game where we're playing to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, we have a little bit of room to kind of spare, but at the end of the day, we're trying to win. We're trying to win the football game, and I'm a competitor. I want to go out there and play. So I'll push myself to get to the best place possible over these next few days, and we'll be able to make a decision then.
How does it feel compared to the Jacksonville injury? Similar?
Jacksonville was worse. I would say. I mean, that one was pretty significant. I mean, this one didn't feel good by any means. But the Jacksonville one, just the way I got caught, I didn't really get the. This last one, I kind of got my feet out at the very end. Whereas that Jacksonville one, I didn't really get to. Obviously, it's responded better, quicker. I think that'd be the best thing to say. But I want to be in a better spot than I was in that next game, going up against the Bengals. So I'll try to see if I can get there.
Yeah, and he's talking about the Jacksonville game was the divisional round in the playoffs in 2022. They then played the Bengals in the AFC title game that year. That's why he's referring to the Bengals. And obviously they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. They beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl that year.
So the Bills have a really easy schedule to finish the season. They play the Jets twice. The Chiefs do not. The Chiefs have a...
Is it the Jets twice? It's Patriots twice, and the Jets sandwiched in between. So three really easy division games. And the Chiefs play the Texans on Saturday at home at the Steelers on Christmas Day, and then they're at Denver the final game of the year.
So the two teams really vying for that number one seed. The Chiefs have reasons to play this game.
It's not
a single elimination or anything, but we've seen the Chiefs own the Bills at home, but not necessarily on the road. I think they want to get that bye week.
The Chiefs have a tangible, the Texans do too. I don't want to poo-poo like being able to move up to the three seed. There could be a benefit in that. So they've got something to play, not nearly as much as the Chiefs have to play for. So I think, I think we'll learn some things about the Texans. You know, the Chiefs have more to play for in this one than they do. The Texans have a lot of more probably emotional reason to play or confidence reasons to play in this one, like learning more about yourself as a team. How do you stack up? They play two teams these next two games that they could very well face in the postseason at some point. You know, either the Ravens at home, or the Ravens on the road in the divisional round, or the Chiefs on the road in the divisional
round.
And
they just aren't. There's no part of this team right now where you think, okay, well, hey, you know, we're in good position, and you just got to be sure guys are fresh. No, I worry, honestly, I 100% worry that if you took your foot off the gas at all right now, the offense might collapse and turn to dust.
Yep.
Look, that defense is full of a bunch of pickaxe-wielding, psychotic, want-to-destroy-you-whenever-you-step-on-the-field types of dudes. Offense, not so much.
Right.
Very little swarm mentality on that offense. I don't think you can... You can't even give the hint of inviting any kind of softness or, hey, we've made it and there's not that much more we can do. They need work. They need to get better. Like, if you want to genuinely make a push into the playoffs, you've got to get better as an offense. And with this offensive line group that's out there right now, if they can get a few games versus good opponent or a couple games versus really good opponents in, I think it pays dividends in the playoffs.
Do you think that Mahomes, this is the tease into the segment, was Mahomes and the year he's having sort of stifling QB talk. Do you think the fact that Mahomes is having what for him is a very average, him a bad year, this year, for him individually, now I'm not talking about in terms of winning. I'm talking about turning the ball over, playing in close games. The offense just hasn't been as prolific. Has that been kind of sort of dragging the bar down for where, talk of, QB comparison or QB talk is?
I think a lot of,
people are, looking at, Mahomes is having this kind of year.
The stat nerd types and the hardcore film evaluators and everything, I feel like the foundations of the religion have been shaken a little bit. Because you've almost always got that, you've got that pull star of Pat Mahomes, and then figure out everybody underneath him exactly where they are.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, when your pull star is down at the equator, you don't know where you've lost your orientation. You don't know what's going on.
There's been way less who's the best quarterback, because the talk of who the best quarterback in football has been the last few years has been is so and so on the level with Mahomes? Has so and so surpassed Mahomes? And statistically, this year there's 10 guys at least who are better than Mahomes. So it almost feels disingenuous because people are like, all right, we still know Mahomes is kind of the best.
We haven't.
But we don't have any backup for it.
Have you seen any? You watch ESPN way more than I do. Have we even ever seen them attempt to make a hot take out of this? Has Josh? It's all the discussion is okay. Josh Allen is the MVP
for sure.
The discussion isn't Josh Allen has taken the mantle from Pat Mahomes.
No,
that I've seen.
I've not seen any of that. Yeah. I've not seen any of that. So there's been very little of that comparison kind of talk. Honestly, if you look at it, most of the QB talk this year has been way more of the soap opera variety than of the, is this guy the GOAT? Is this guy the best? Is this guy the new, is he the new benchmark? Is he the new gold standard? I think Aaron Rodgers has dominated the conversation. His team's won four games all
year. It's all about extraneous stuff more so than anything else. It's inter-office politics.
Jalen Hurts is on a team. He quarterbacks a team that's 12-2, and there's way more talk about him getting along with his coaches and his teammates than there is what kind of season he's having.
Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow's one of the high. They're the fifth highest scoring offense in football right now. But you know, what do you do with it? They're just six and eight. The team is atrocious.
Boy, now they snuck into the playoffs.
I say the team is atrocious. By that, I mean just like the defense is so bad that
they don't have a good record right now. But they're still mathematically alive. That would be of those 6-8 teams, Colts, Bengals. There's one other 6-8 team that I'm missing in the AFC right now the Dolphins. The Dolphins, who the Texans just beat. Dolphins, Bengals, Colts. Bengals are easily the one that nobody wants to see sneak in as the 7 seed. Right?
Yeah, like they could win a shootout.
Yeah,
right. The Bengals, that's a team that I would not want to watch the Texans play just because I think the Bengals defense could look good versus the Texans offense.
Yeah, see, now that's one of those things, like if they sneak in as a 7 seed, if the standings were to hold above them, they'd go up to Buffalo for the 2-7 game in the first round. That'd be kind of fun.
Interesting.
That'd be a shoot. That'd take the over.
I think Josh Allen would crush it. Yeah.
Josh Allen would. I think it'd be 42-38.
But the part about it, I think that maybe I don't know whether it's benefited C.J. Stroud or what have you, but for the most part, I think people are kind of they're stepping back and putting all the discussion about sophomore slumps or any of these other quarterbacks who are underperforming. I feel like Pat Mahomes being right down there statistically with all of them has made people kind of back off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like the big picture, maybe quarterback's not as important as he used to. I don't know.
We know the run game has kind of made a little bit of a renaissance here.
Yeah.
At the very least, I think it's made it such that experts realize it's a more nuanced conversation than just C.J. Stroud's not as good this year.
Right.
And I don't want to dismiss the fact that there are certain things CJ needs to do better. Like he's he ain't perfect. Like there are things he needs to do better, there's a lot of outside circumstances.
I think and part of it too is that the same things Mahomes is dealing with are the same things CJ is, which is poor pass protection. And all right, man, the guy can't get into a rhythm when the pass protection is this bad. So if they're making that excuse for Mahomes, I think people are a little more hesitant to level criticism at CJ when he's dealing with the same thing. The other part of CJ dealing with the pressure is if you look at Caleb Williams hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions, but he's taken a boatload of sacks, and a lot of them are his fault.
Right.
Like he's holding on. I feel like if he were trying to operate and get rid of the ball more quickly, he would have thrown more interceptions, but it might have been a better product. I'm not blaming him. It's a bad situation in Chicago. CJ's taken the second most sacks, and it feels like they're he's way less responsible than a lot of quarterbacks just are kind of naturally wired to take sacks. They're bad at avoiding sacks.
Yeah.
CJ's demonstrated that he can avoid sacks, but the pass protection's been so bad this year.
It's been bad. Yeah, it's been bad. I'm just thinking of things that have gotten more attention than talking about who the best quarterbacks are. Daniel Jones getting benched and then quitting on the Giants. Got way more attention. That got attention for a week.
Yeah.
Look, yesterday alone, two quarterbacks got benched. Will Levis and Kirk Cousins both benched. Anthony Richardson quitting in the game against the Texans.
Out, right.
That got a whole week's worth of talk.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence and the art of the QB slide.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Texans involved in so many of these? Damn, man. Deshaun Watson, plunderer of franchises. Somebody dragging a full franchise down.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And with the speculation at this point being that the Browns are going to roll with Deshaun Watson next year.
They're paying him. There's nothing
they can do to get away from that contract.
Unless they want to pay him to do something other than play quarterback for the team.
Jameis Winston coming back down to earth is a big disappointment for me this year.
I know, me too.
There was a little window of time there. I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is fun.
Let's
do this thing, Jameis.
Do you think the Browns...
And then he went and did the Jameis thing hardcore last week.
Right. He did exactly what you asked him to do. Do the Jameis thing.
Yeah.
You think they draft a quarterback in Cleveland?
Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
I think so.
What are they going to do? We don't want to offend Deshaun. If anything, they probably hope they kind of offend Deshaun to the point where he does something to void his contract.
Oh, my God. What a disaster. Like, that contract, man. He is on the books for $72 million next year?
Yeah.
$72 million in 2026, and with money crammed into dummy years for another $30
million. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I got to think about this. If you try to take all emotion out of it, okay, the upside of Deshaun, I think, is still higher than the upside of the average first-round quarterback pick. Because the vast majority of first-round quarterback picks don't even work out to ever be good NFL quarterbacks.
Well, certainly in the next year or two.
Right, you've seen that Deshaun, like, we know what Deshaun's ceiling is.
Yeah.
He just hasn't come anywhere close to it the last few years. I think he's got to make one more full-bore effort into, like, yep, Deshaun's our guy.
That's what they're going to do, according to Mary Kay Cabot. Yeah. They're gonna give him a chance. How about that? When they traded for him in 2022... did anybody think that the story going into 2025 would be Deshaun Watson will get a chance to compete for the starting quarterback job?
Yeah.
$230 million.
No, I wouldn't have expected that.
Not at all.
I didn't expect him to show much rust even in coming back from his suspension.
Right.
Like, I had a lot of faith in his ability as a football player, but man, it's off.
It's rough. Text message, Joe Mixon and Nico Collins have some swarm to them, but not many others.
Right,
offense.
I didn't mean to say that none of the guys on the offense do, but there's a lot more on the defense.
Those are
side.
The two swarmiest easily on the offense, I would say for sure. Kate Stover's showing a little bit of swarm.
He's got it in him. He's just got to learn how to play tight end.
Stover? You know?
Yeah. He's very, very raw at the position still.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody sent me a DM the other day, and we were talking about how long does it take to get back from an appendectomy.
Yeah.
For those
who don't know, Kate Stover had an emergency appendectomy last weekend.
Yep, he did. And there was a listener, I got to find it, that hit me on...
talking about recovery time for appendectomy?
He said this. Regarding appendectomy recovery that you and Seth were talking about, my daughter had one 30 years ago, played soccer the following weekend.
Yeah.
Depends on if the surgery, if they need to go in through the belly button or not.
Okay.
That's all he says.
I'm guessing however they did it 30 years ago, I'm guessing they've advanced. I'm going to guess it's like they do it all with a scope these days and everything. I have no idea.
Stover's going to be at practice today then. I mean, this young lady was playing soccer a week after. That's what I'm going to go by.
An athlete can typically expect to return to light activity within a couple weeks, but should avoid strenuous sports or heavy lifting for 2 to 3 weeks. Maybe next week is the first. Okay. Or I guess the Christmas Day game, maybe.
Maybe.
Would be your hope for Kate Stover.
Sounds like if Dalton Schultz had an appendectomy, he might be able to play. Well, like, he kind of just takes things casually out there when it comes to blocking people.
He can stand around light activity.
Yeah.
Just a couple of targets here and there.
The wrong tight end needed an appendectomy.
Yeah. Define light activity.
Right.
I don't know, 2 receptions for 12 yards and some whiffs on blocks.
Casual blocking, yes.
Irv Smith had some nice blocks
in
the game.
He did. Enough to which I saw somebody put an Irv Smith cut-up together. together.
Yeah.
We need more Irv Smith. I'm like, okay. And all the plays are going for like 2 yards.
Yeah,
I'm like,
look at this. A non-TFL.
Yeah.
Even when the Texans run game has worked.
Yeah.
I thought, man, none of these guys are burying people.
No.
Like,
no.
You see people, guys are pulling. You got a big offensive lineman coming. It's just like they're just sealing people off.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of limbs
getting near Joe Mixon.
Angles as much as possible, kind of chipping away at it, yeah, more so than blunt force trauma.
Please do better. More hot food takes from Panthers wide receiver Xavier Leggett, who last week informed us that he ate raccoon for Thanksgiving. Guess who else eats raccoon? A billionaire. We'll let you hear which one coming up next.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.